But the Grattan Institute says a tax, an extra tax on sugary soft drinks, would reduce their consumption, reduce the consumption of sugar in society, and hopefully reduce obesity. Our next guest is Director of the Health Program at the Grattan Institute, Peter Breeden. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, so you're proposing for the most sugary soft drinks an extra 60 cents a litre of tax, is that correct?
That's right. There'd be no tax on drinks with a small amount of sugar, less than 5 grams per 100 mils, but that would ratchet up. By the time you get to 8 grams or more, you'd see a tax of 60 cents per litre.
Do you think that would make a difference? I mean, I was comparing this to the tax on cigarettes before, and you know, increasingly the cigarette excise has been used as a way of stopping people smoking, and it's worked. But you know, they've had to push a packet of cigarettes up to almost $60 a packet to really, you know, make it financially difficult for people to smoke. Do you think an extra 60 cents per litre would change people's behaviour?
Yeah, there's good evidence that it will, and taxes like this are in place in 100 different countries around the world, so most countries have a sugary drinks tax, and we can see what's played out. It's a bit different to cigarettes because one of the big effects of this tax is part of it, people, you know, drink a bit less of those drinks, but the other thing is it gets manufacturers to change their recipes, reducing sugar. So like the tiered tax I talked about, there's that incentive for manufacturers to reduce sugar. They had a tax like this in the UK, and before the tax came in, 1 in 3 drinks had that high level of sugar, more than 8 grams per 100 mils. After the tax, only 1 in 12 drinks had that.
Okay, so the difference was more at the manufacturing end. The manufacturer said, we don't want to be slugged, or we don't want our consumers to be slugged with this tax, hence we'll change the formulation of the drink to make it less unhealthy.
Exactly right. So it's both effects. It's making the drinks healthier and it's people drinking less of the drinks that have a tax. But the best result is this one where they reformulate, take the sugar out, because then you get healthier drinks and people paying less or no tax.
I've always wondered why people drink the sugary drinks. Like, I mean, given that the artificial sweeteners are, in my view, hard to tell apart from sugar these days, well, why do people still choose sugary drinks?
I think a part of it is people just don't know how much sugar is in these drinks. So if you take a 600 ml bottle of Solo, that's 17 teaspoons in that one drink.
17 teaspoons?
It's amazing, isn't it? And 16 teaspoons for the 600 ml bottle of Coke. The daily recommended maximum, so that's the absolute top you should be having, is 12 teaspoons. So one of these bottles of drinks, you can blow right through the maximum sort of healthy amount. And I just don't think people are aware how much is in there.
Mm. I heard recently that, in fact, Fanta, they'd reduced the amount of sugar in Fanta, but recently, for some reason, they upped it again.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised this. The industry here, the Beverages Council, they came up in 2018 with their pledge to reduce sugar in their drinks. And they said, we're going to do it ourselves. We don't need a tax. And they did reduce sugar, but they cooked the books. They counted gains made before the pledge. The progress was slow. And they made less than half the gains the UK made under a tax. But importantly, as you said, then they reversed course and they celebrated reductions in the sugar in Sprite and in Fanta in 2021. But now they've increased the sugar in those drinks by between 40 and 60%. So it does show you that the industry can't really be in charge of making drinks healthy.
What about sugar in other things? I mean, would you put a tax on, I don't know, chocolate bars, for example, or even muesli bars, which often have a lot of sugar in them, or are you just talking about just sugar in soft drinks?
Well, the reason soft drinks are a good place to focus and why so many countries have done this is because they have little or no nutritional benefit. So some of these other foods with high sugar do have some nutrients. The other reason is...
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sure a Mars bar has much in the way of nutrition in it. I know they say how much milk there is in chocolate and so forth, but that's about it, isn't it?
Look, it's a fair point. But the other difference is when you're taking the sugar through a drink, it's absorbed into your body much faster. You get that spike of blood glucose quicker, and it makes you feel less full than if you get the sugar in a food. So you then have more calories later on. So these are all the reasons. It's a bit easier and more sensible to focus on these drinks.
Is there any chance the government will actually do this? Like, have you spoken to anybody at the federal or the state government to get this tax going?
It'd be a federal government measure. And look, I don't know how much appetite there is. It's clearly something many countries have tried to do. I mean, looking around the world, there's only two continents that do not have a sugar tax. That's Antarctica and Australia. So most countries have done this. I don't know if the government's up for it. I certainly hope they are, because the evidence has kept rolling in. We've seen in the UK, for example, 12% less kids going to hospital to get their teeth removed after this tax was introduced.
Yeah, well, that's another thing about soft drinks, isn't it? I mean, let alone the sugar in you. The fact that they get filtered through the teeth is awful. My dentist is always talking about that. All right, thank you, Peter. Peter Breeden there, Director of the Health Program at the Grattan Institute. Well,